Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's new book, Paperboy. To order today, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on store.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Car Show.
And class resentment.
She's not bitter.
Is a lot what, and anti-intellectualism and elitism.
Who says I'm not bitter?
Is what is driving many of these anti-establishment, which are Trump voters,
right.
Or anti-establishment
Absolutely.
Voters.
Just maybe not as bitter as I'm going to be 10 years from now. But
live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
As you know, Iran launched an unprecedented aerial attack against Israel, and we mounted an unprecedented military effort to defend Israel.
John, has President Biden considered maybe beefing up the public Iran posture to be more than just one word?
You're referring to don't.
We'll say
don't.
Do we last? Very well. If you will not assist us voluntarily,
don't.
No! Never! No shrub!
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Yes. Well, not quite. Let's say, sorry to disappoint, it's not Howie Carr. It is Toby Leary filling in for Howie Carr for the second day in a row. And man, am I happy to be with you guys today. It was a beautiful day, beautiful drive up. And I have a good feeling about this show. I'm feeling pretty good about it because it's like a smorgasbord. I don't even know where to start. I was just talking in the green room like, I don't even know where to start today, but there's so much to talk about. We had a great discussion yesterday. We completed the trifecta of politics, religion, and guns, and we'll probably dabble a lot in all three areas of that today. So be forewarned, if any of those are triggering to you, you probably want to adjust the dial, but hopefully you'll be able to sit through and have an interesting talk with me today, because we're going to take lots of calls as well. 844-500-4242 is the number if you want to be on the Howie Carr Show. Once again, my name is Toby Leary, and I got to just reference back to a caller yesterday, Sketty, who was just such a nice person who called in, and she was like, you know, I'm listening to you, but I don't know who you are. So I was like, you know, maybe I should give some people a little bit of context here about who I am and what it is I do, and so that we get to know each other a little bit, right? Let's break the ice. I'll get to know you by your calls, and you can get to know me by my 30-second elevator pitch here. So here goes. I'm a father, I'm a husband, and I'm a business owner. I have a couple of different businesses down on Cape Cod where I was raised. I love where I live. I hate the politics. I have decided to stay and fight it out in what I think is the birthplace of America. We have the, in my opinion, the greatest country on earth, and it needs a little bit of tune-up right now. It needs some work. We need to lift the hood and give it a full frame-off restoration, in my opinion. But so I'm a co-owner of Cape Gunworks. I do a radio show once a week on WXDK. Sundays on 95.1 from noon to 1. And I also do a podcast every Wednesday called Rapid Fire. So if you want to listen to that, you can tune in. If you go to rapidfireradio.us, you can sign up. Or you can follow us on social media at Cape Gunworks and at Rapid Fire Radio is the two places you'll find our content. And so we have lots going on all the time. And but you'll get to know me a little better if you follow on those social media channels or on my radio show or on my podcast. So enough self-promotion. That's not why I'm here. I'm here to talk with you guys. And I had a ball doing it yesterday, by the way. But one of the first things I wanted to talk about is it looks like the foreign aid package has passed, and it's going to be heading to the Senate, I guess, or is passed by the Senate. And I saw like a little leaked memo of Mike Johnson's passage as well, program as well, or package as well. And it looks very similar. So it looks like it's going to shake out somewhat like this. About $60 billion going to Ukraine, $14 billion to Israel, $9 billion going to Gaza, and $4.8 billion going to the Indo-Pacific PAC. And then it gets into a little bit of nuance about how those funds are going to be appropriated. But one thing, you know, that I think about when I see this is, if you haven't seen the debt clock that I know a couple of congressmen have worn it around, that shows the debt climbing, and it's like a couple of million bucks every few seconds, right? I'm like, where is all this money coming from? Last time I looked, we're like $35 trillion in debt. And we're just, you know, throwing money around like it's candy. And not to mention, we have the border wide open on the southern border, that is every person that comes across that border is costing us money. And I remember a very spirited debate, a very spirited discussion, when Trump wanted like $15 billion to secure our own border, and how it was impossible to find that money. That was just a bridge too far. That was an ask too, you know, way too much. You're out of line to think we're going to spend $15 billion to secure our southern border. That's ridiculous. And I'm thinking about, like, that $15 billion is probably going to be consumed in one state like Massachusetts alone in the next year or two. And we had a state that had billions of dollars of surplus. And now we're like, all the money's gone, right? It's gone. The rainy day fund has been spent on people who are here in our country illegally. So I look at this foreign aid package and I'm like, this is like a serious disconnect, where they are willing to continue to spend money we don't have and defend other countries' borders, but won't spend the money necessary to defend our own borders, which, by the way, is in the Constitution as the primary role of the federal government. It's not, and I'm not saying these programs are bad, but it's not Social Security and educating the children and everything else. That is not the primary role of federal government, which those checkbooks are open, and, you know, obviously programs are put in place and they're funded, and they're supposed the money's supposed to be there. And every once in a while, they dip into those funds and cause all kinds of controversy. But the one thing they're tasked with doing, which is securing America against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. And nope, nothing to see here, folks. But by the way, we're going to go $35 trillion in debt and continue to send billions and billions of dollars to foreign governments to aid. And I'm not even saying we shouldn't give some money to Israel. Like the $14 billion, I actually do believe we need to support our partner in the region. We need to support Israel against their, you know, this barrage of missiles that were sent from Iran. We had ballistic missiles, and Fox News, I saw a video earlier today about the size of these missiles. They look like grain silos. I mean, they're probably about 3 feet in diameter, and the fuel cell is probably, I don't know, 20 feet long. These are huge, massive missiles. If someone was lobbing these into America, I would be grateful if Canada or, you know, some other friendly country decided to send us some aid in the form of defense and missile defense and whatnot. But the point I'm trying to make here is, let's take care of our own border before taking care of the rest of the world. We can't afford it. I mean, it is ridiculous. This deficit spending has to stop. When does it stop? I know the printing presses are just going brrr and just firing cash out as quick as it can print. But there is going to come a day of reckoning where we will be bankrupt, and we'll have places like China just licking their chops to take us up and take us out. Let's look at something I think is very interesting about the whole Israel Iran conflict that's going on right now. The Biden administration, we covered this at length yesterday. We talked about the defense of Israel and how the White House was basically telling Israel to take the win, take it as a victory lap, and don't do anything. Well, they're mounting a defense right now, right? But one thing that no one's really talking about is, what did they defeat? 99% of ballistic missiles, drones, and other types of ordnance, cruise missiles. And that's basically the same thing falling into Ukraine, right? Believe it or not, Ukraine is deploying a lot of Iranian drones. And these are getting through. So is it the... I find it quite interesting that we can come to the aid and defense of Israel and have almost 100% success, 99% success, but yet Ukraine is getting pounded every day by Russia. So does that mean we're capable of defending them and aren't with all of this ordnance we're sending them? Or is it that something more nefarious, like, no, go ahead and bomb the heck out of them because we need evidence destroyed? I know that's a conspiracy theory sector of my brain that thinks up these type of things or hears other people proffer them. And I sit there and think about them. And I think that's a valid point, though, that you could end up saying, why is it that we're so unsuccessful in defeating the Iranian drones coming into Ukraine, but we're almost 100% successful in Israel? So I know Israel has an incredible weapons defense system, but Ukraine is got plenty of ordnance and weaponry and defense stuff from us as well. So anyway, 844-500-4242. I know we didn't get to 2A Tuesday with Grace, so I'm going to jump right into that. We also are going to have some time in the 5 o'clock hour to take your questions around the Second Amendment. So, but we'll start off on this for the first segment. Actually, let's go to a break and we'll hit it hard on the second segment here. So hold the phones. We'll get into that. I'm Toby Leary. We're talking about 2A Tuesday on the other side for the Howie Carr Show. We'll be right
back. The Howie Carr Show will be right back. The Howie Carr Show is back.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. I'm Toby Leary, sitting in for Howie, and today's poll question is brought to you by MyPillow Products. I sleep with their pillows, I wear their slippers, I dry off with their towels. Now you can enjoy all of their products with great discounts using the code Howie at MyPillow.com. From pillows, towels, slippers, and even their Giza Dream Sheets, go to MyPillow.com and use code Howie for amazing discounts. Matt, what is the poll question today and what are the results so far?
What should happen to protesters that shut down bridges and airports? Nothing. Same as the January Sixers. People should be allowed to remove them. They should be charged with a felony or they should be held financially responsible for damage caused.
This is a tough one for me. I would either say the last one, but I do think that it should be one of those things like, hey, you're creating a problem. If I was like on the way to the hospital with my kid, those people would be lucky to not go over the rail. So I'd say the people should be able to remove them.
People should be able to remove them has 0%.
Well, now it has one.
The same as nothing. should be held financially responsible as 14%, and then tied with 43% are same as the January Sixers, and they should face felony charges.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. All right. Well, thanks for that. We're going to go right to the phones as promised, 844-500-4242. Scott, you're first up on the Howie Carr Show. How are you, Scott?
I'm good. How are you, Toby?
Very good.
Good. I got a question for you, but it's actually a firearm question I've been meaning to ask you, trying to get on. I recently purchased a firearm. Am I allowed to say what the firearm
sure.
is? It's a Mossberg Shockwave SPV. Mm-hmm. I know there's been a lot of controversy, or I know it's been back and forth with the Senate about because I know that's considered a firearm with the paperwork that I have with it. But, you know, I watch a lot of videos, and I'm a big Second Amendment person, former military in the Army, and I wanted to, you know, upgrade it or modify it to an extent. I know there's keeps going back and forth to, about pistol braces, and I have a pistol brace I just recently purchased, a grip, and, you know, I have like a green laser to throw on it. And yep. I was wondering, I'm hearing mixed things across the board, but I'm looking at the actual, you know, some paperwork from, you know, like cases, like there was a case in Texas.
Let me ask you a quick question, Scott. Is it a 14-inch barrel or an 18-inch barrel?
It's the 14.
Okay. So I think I understand the question. If you are a member of GOA, Firearms Policy Coalition, NRA, Gun Owners of America, then you're exempt from any possible prosecution from the ATF on the pistol brace rule. So I would highly recommend you join those organizations anyway, because they're doing the yeoman's work of funding challenges and legal challenges to them. So the question he's basically getting at, and I appreciate the call, Scott, is can you put the pistol brace on it and still be okay having a braced pistol? And I would say yes, because as long as you're a member of one of those groups that have been granted protection under the injunction. So without getting into all the nuance of that, but that's basically the best way to secure and make sure you don't get prosecuted. So hopefully that helps, Scott. John, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, John.
Hi, Toby. I'm 71 and my LTC expires. My mass LTC expires in September. What should I be doing now?
Well, it depends what town you live in. Some towns don't let you do anything until you're within 3 months of expiration. Other towns will let you go in 4 or 5 months, knowing it's going to take longer than probably 3 months to get it renewed in some cases, which is absolutely ridiculous. But I would say sometime in July or August, you should probably be applying for your renewal just to make sure it doesn't lapse. Not that it matters as long as you apply before it expires, but if you, because you can continue to carry the gun and buy and ammunition and guns, if you will, as long as you renew before it expires. So I would make sure you get it in before it expires. But I say err on the side of caution and just get it done, you know, June or July, sometime 2 or 3 months out from when it actually expires. And that way you don't have to worry about it. So you don't have to explain it either and show a little slip of piece of paper that you did in fact renew. So hopefully that helps, John. That is one of the provisions under House Bill H-4139 that passed last fall that they're trying to change. They're trying to make it so that you won't be grandfathered in even if you reapply before it expires. So I would highly recommend everybody call the members of the conference committee. We have Joan Lovely, we have Michael Day, and the usual suspects. Go to gold.org. They have all their contact info. I'm not going to be able to get it in now, but do that. All right, we'll be back after this. I'm Toby Leary. We got Grace's News coming up after the break.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. I'm here with you all day and happy to be here. The number, if you want to join us, is 844-500-4242 or text the text line Howie, H-O-W-I-E, to 617-213-1066. And I'm happy to have in studio right now Grace for Grace's News.
Hello, Toby. Thank you for having me. I actually wanted to start with something that went viral yesterday, and that was Joe Biden's latest cheat sheet. So the president has been known to bring with him some cards, some helpful tips on how to handle pretty basic interactions.
Say it ain't so, Joe.
And yesterday he met with the Iraqi prime minister, and he had a cheat sheet that the press was able to take a photo of and kind of zoom in on. And on the list included instructions to pause. So not only were they underlining things like Iraq because they don't want him to confuse it with Iran or Afghanistan or, you know, anywhere else that he might confuse it with, but then also they were giving him instructions to pause. And I would just like to say, Toby, I don't like to flex this a lot. You know, I like to be pretty humble, but I was a theater major, so I've read my fair share of scripts. And I would just like to point out that even for thespians, even for actors on the stage, you are not told when to pause. Nobody writes in pause. Maybe they'll write sigh or whatever. But for the most part, that is part of your artistic license and decision making. It's like, what are you going to do in the moment? The fact that a human being is being instructed by his handlers on when to pause when chatting with a world leader is frightening.
Well, I think it's also daring by his handlers, because he could read the word and say, you know, he's been known to do that. Like, you know, oh, we're talking with Prime Minister here, pause. you know, like that, that's a real...
Yeah, walk off stage. Right. He'll say things like that.
Yeah, right.
Come like, on, man.
State your name. You know, it's like, hi, state your name. Oh, yeah, that's me. Like, you know, that he's done, he's had those moments on camera. So, yeah.
Yeah, and it's always something to watch these prime ministers and presidents and foreign diplomats come in, and they're trying to pretend that it's not bizarro that they're sitting there. And then what actually ends up happening is they don't talk to the press, not because they're uncomfortable. Like, a lot of them are coming here and they're expecting, hey, America, freedom of the press, that's kind of their thing, you know, they'll probably want to talk to reporters. And then they quickly realize, oh, he's not going to take any questions. And who are all these people screaming at us to get out all the reporters? They're probably in some, not every leader, but some leaders are probably like, yeah, this is good job, guys. I love this. Don't answer any of their questions.
That's right. You know, I feel right at home.
Exactly.
In fact, if they do ask, can we take them out back and shoot them? Like, is that like,
yeah, right.
You guys have that thing going on too?
Yeah. And it really is frightening. Now, Biden is obviously coming under fire for his foreign policy strategies, which really include him just telling people don't. Sometimes he'll amp it up with a don't, right. don't. But lately he's gone back down to just don't. Now, Russia allegedly is backing Iran and sending them a lot of weapons. Iran has said if Israel responds to the attack from this weekend, that they will start using weapons that have never been used before. It's obviously, it's hard to know what is bluffing in these situations and what is actual threats, but it will definitely be frightening to see how Biden responds.
Yeah, and the fact is, like, I don't even want to be there, like, for that, the saber rattling session, because no one knows, like you just said, no one knows what they're actually meaning by that. And it's like, I just think that it's Biden's policies that have put us squarely here, being a weak leader on the world stage, is part of the problem. And it's funny that, and just to kind of circle back to that other story, where, you know, the pause was necessary to be put in there, but I listened to his remarks with the Iraqi prime minister there. And I will say he was running his sentences together at an unprecedented manner. Like, it was like one big run-on talk where he overlapped syllables and everything else. I felt like it was really hard to understand him. And so maybe that's what they're trying to get to him at. But that's not what you want at the negotiating table when, like, nukes are on the table and, you know, these new hypersonic missiles and drones and everything else. And I feel like every day he's in office, we inch a step closer to World War III.
Yeah, I'm getting closer. I am actually in agreement where I look now at the handlers and I'm kind of on their side. I'm thinking there is too much at risk. You really can't let him talk. I used to look at those people with disdain and think, let him talk. You know, why are you propping up this president and protecting him? But now I'm kind of like, maybe get him out, because maybe give him the hook and move him to the side here, because if he gets asked a question, like you said, there's a lot at stake. And the thing about the run-on sentences is it reminds me of sometimes the way he talks. It reminds me of a roller coaster that goes up, 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 and then all of a sudden for the second part of the sentence, he just goes so fast in hopes that maybe we're not going to catch everything or he can cover things up. So, yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe the pause was necessary. Now, something we were talking about during the car crossover today, Toby, were these protests. I know it has to do with your poll question. The protesters, the anti-Israel protesters. It wasn't just in San Francisco. It was also in New York City. It was really all over the country. And you made the comment, which I thought was really interesting and something I hadn't thought of, which is how pre-planned was this? How choreographed was it? None of these things are springing up naturally. Like there's some heavy lifting involved when you talk about a nationwide protest. And this is from Breitbart. It says, Iranian opposition activist Vahid Beheshedi on Monday exposed a confidential letter written by a high-ranking officer that revealed Iran has been secretly supporting anti-Israel rallies around the world. The IRGC, the Islamic Revolutionary Guard, is very clearly organizing and promoting these actions aimed at destroying our modern society, all the while our politicians continue to appease them, placing our value, stability, and public order under great jeopardy, Beheshedi said on Monday. Now, I was thinking when you were talking about professional protesters, I was thinking back to right after October 7th, the pro-Palestinian movement was very quickly organized and celebrating what happened on October 7th, the horrible slaughter of Israelis, the most Jews killed since the Holocaust. And there was one woman, she was this old woman, and she had a sign, and she was trying to say from the river to the sea. But she was so unfamiliar with the topic and that sentence that she kind of botched it. And there was a guy filming her, and he said, from what river to what sea? Like, he was asking her questions. And she's like, you know the river, you know the thing, you know? She's like, and it was very clear that someone just asked her to stand there and hold a sign. She was being a useful idiot, probably a paid useful idiot. Mm. But now we have information that it's actually the IRGC that could be paying for these protests around the world.
How ironic, huh? Like, we just saw last week some news, somebody on the news say, and I should know that who it was, but like, we know the Republicans are run by the Russians, right? Like, they're paid by the Russians and they're run by the Russians and all this. And how ironic a tie-in if it's true that the Russians through Iran are funding these protests. I find it incredibly ironic, and it would certainly be like what I mentioned yesterday on the show, how Democrats have mastered the art of projection, right? Like,
yes.
Accusing them of what you're doing. Like, Hillary Clinton was famous for it and almost flawless in execution until her, like, Katie Couric moment when she called them all the basket of deplorables. You know, that was like where she kind of had a misstep and it was like, oh, I didn't think that through. There was a big backlash to that whole thing. But I just find it funny that they always accuse Republicans of being in bed with the Russians, but yet here we are, this serpentine route of Russia's support of Iran, which supports Hezbollah and Hamas, and, you know, for the destruction of Israel. It's this crazy web we weave, like, and makes crazy bedfellows, if you ask me.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. Okay, so my last story of the day has nothing to do with politics, but I did want your take on this because you travel a lot, especially because of Second Amendment issues in other states. You're always trying to keep track of what's going on there, making cases for certain things. And this is a story about air travel. This is from the New York Post. Reclining economy airline seats are going to vanish for good, aviation experts say. Blessing in disguise. So it says, flight experts claim that the reclining seat could be scrapped from economy class amid soaring concerns over space, fuel costs, and even in-flight kerfuffles. Now, I want to first say this. I was sitting on a plane recently, and I thought, it's amazing how many people they pack in and how the seats are getting like smaller and smaller and smaller. And I think the airlines are still making money. But it's amazing how in a lot of other industries, you don't feel like they're trying to make the most money as possible at the expense of comfort. But with airline travel, I guess they can because they know people have to get where they're going. So they don't have to worry about losing customers. Mm. But it really is. It's getting to be so... I was on a domestic flight for like 3 hours and I was sitting there going, this is... And I sit... Oftentimes, I'm the last one to pick my seat, so I'll be in the middle if I'm flying by myself. And I don't really mind it. It's fine. But it is terrible. And then when someone puts the... When I'm in the middle seat and then somebody reclines and they're basically in my lap, I'm sitting there going, what the hell is going on?
Well, there is an answer to that. And that is recline your seat. And you're in the same... Yeah.
Remember the COVID thing, Toby, where it was all the matches... And it was all the matches setting each other on fire. And if one match got out of the group, it was going to slow the spread. Like, if you were the one person who stopped the spread, I'm the one person. I'm not going to be the domino that goes, boo, 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 boo. And then everyone has to put their seat back. I'm going to be the martyr in that situation. I'm going to take one for the collective team.
Oh, see, now, the reason that I think it's real important that those seats recline isn't because of necessarily personal comfort or to create more space or whatever. It's so that my head doesn't fall on my chest when I doze off trying to watch whatever movie or whatever, or sometimes I'm on a night flight, I'm on a red eye coming back, and the angle that you're sitting there, it is impossible for me to keep my head like against the seat. It pitches forward naturally.
You gotta get one of those pillows where you can just
put
your head.
I probably should get one of those neck pillows, but I always forget that stuff.
You look like a complete doofus. Yes.
So for me, just a little bit of recline, now my head can stay back without pulling a, you know, Trump and falling asleep with my chin on my
snoring
on my chest. So,
yeah, but Toby, the other question I'll ask you, because I was thinking about this the other day. What about when the person who gets the window seat, they get control of the window for all three people, which I don't necessarily know if that's fair, because sometimes I'm in a situation like, for example, the woman on the window seat kept her window open. She had the two people in her row, and then she had technically the three people in our row, because our guy decided to put the window down, hers being up, still blast sunshine throughout the whole plane. And so I look over because I'm thinking, I would love to take a nap right now, but that woman's window is killing me. And she's knitting, like she's this close to the window. And then I kind of go, well, she paid for it, so it's her seat, so she's got control. But hold on a second. Not only are you getting the window seat where you have the power to lean against it and you've got that little leverage of, oh, I can put my head against it and fall asleep, you get the better position, but now you're going to prevent all of us. We're already in an uncomfortable position. We already can't sleep. And now we've got the light on, and I can't say to you, hey, can you shut the window?
You could.
I could. I just won't, though. Yeah, I hate competition.
Another martyr. You're going to fall on that sword, too.
There's so many swords I'm falling on all the
but
time.
I will say that also has, just to play devil's advocate, it had an opposite effect with me when I flew into Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and the guy on the window propped, which was very creative, I must say, he propped his cell phone up against the window and then pulled the shade down. And I could tell he was recording the approach and all that. And so I'm looking at a window shade on the whole approach, and I stood up, and the guy I was traveling with ahead of me turns around and goes, did you see that? And I said, see what? And he goes, you didn't look out the window when we came in? I said, no, the guy had his cell phone in there and pulled it down. He goes, oh my gosh. And I had no idea what he was talking about until I got off the plane.
Don't tell me it was a solar eclipse.
No, it was the Grand Tetons. Like, it is, and you get down below the mountain tops for a long approach to the airport, and it's just, you're flying parallel to the Grand Tetons, and it's epic. I mean, it's gorgeous. That's why he wanted to record it, but I didn't get to see it.
Yeah, you don't even know if it's epic.
I didn't even know it was there. I didn't even know what I was missing.
You know what it is? It's window seat etiquette. And I just don't think everyone has it. Like, for me, it's for the duration of the flight, you put it down, because if people need light, it's like being colder versus being warm. Right. People who need light, you have a light above you, you'll be fine. And then the other people, they can't make things, it's a lot harder to make things dark than it is to make things light.
I agree.
And then when it's time to land and we're like, everyone's awake anyway because they've already made the announcement, then you put the shade up. It's not that hard. There just needs to be people who are willing to be productive members of society.
Yeah, and I think that
This is supposed to be our fun segment.
I know. We've seen a switch flipped on that, though. Like, you see more and more drama on airplanes than ever. And you're probably right. It's probably a etiquette thing. Like, it never used to. I mean, shoot, you used to be able to have a decent meal, smoke a cigarette, and like dress in your shirt and tie and all that.
Yeah, like Mad Men.
Like crazy. And you want to talk about leg room? It looked like they were on like in the front lawn. They couldn't even reach the seat in front of them. But now like
we're
you
all
said,
in Cookie Monster pajama pants and eating bags of goldfish.
We're in like cattle. We're packed in like cattle. But anyway, I'm glad they don't smoke cigarettes anymore. But all right.
Sounds like you miss it. Yeah.
Thank you, Grace.
Thanks, Joey.
I appreciate it. And we will be right back. This is the Howie Carr Show.
Howie Carr. He's Howie Carr, and he's back.
And welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. Toby Leary sitting in for Howie. I'll be here with you the rest of the day. And Howie returns tomorrow, so you don't have to worry about my gravelly voice anymore. but no, I'm having a great time talking with everybody here. I got a ton of stuff to talk about. We've gone to the calls. 844-500-4242 is the number. If you want to be on the line with me, or you can text 617-213-1066. Text Howie to 617-213-1066. All right. I want to get back to the stack. Real quick, a quick mention of John Cougar Mellencamp's concert. I don't know if Grace touched on it in her thing, but he had a concert and he got talking about why you should love Biden and Biden this and Biden that. And somebody... And then he got indignant that the place got really quiet. And he's like, it got really quiet in here. And we don't have that cut, right, Matt? But no big deal. And so then some guy's like, just play a song. Like, just play. And it reminds me of like the Laura Ingraham book, Shut Up and Sing, that she wrote years ago. And, you know, they're there to hear his music, not get his politics jammed down their throat. And I know there's certain musicians on both sides that you kind of take that, right? Because that's what you're going to get. Like Ted Nugent, if you go to one of his concerts, you're not going to get just music. You're going to get some political statements, and I get it. And that's probably, he's preaching to the choir. Like, no one goes to his concerts thinking like he's only going to play music the whole time. But when you're there to hear some guy who was never really political, and then all of a sudden he's jamming it down your throat, and the result was he just walked off stage. He's like, you know what? I just knocked 10 songs off, so you're done. 10 songs. And then he just walked off anyway. All right. This is the Howie Carr Show. We will be back after this.